And now, live and in color, please welcome to the pulpit the Dean of Doctrine, the teacher, the preacher, the people reacher, the master pastor himself, the right, the Reverend Dr. John W. Crowder. Here's Johnny.
Thank you. Isn't that one of the most awful things you've ever seen in church? Are you as uncomfortable with that as I am? That's not the way to step into a pulpit. That's not the way to welcome a pastor. But what if we had a national hero in our midst this morning? Not just a good guy who lives down the street who did something, but I mean a national hero. What if not only we had a national hero, he would deserve an introduction. He would deserve a drum roll and bright lights, because a national hero. But what if not only we had a national hero, but what if we had somebody who had been a national hero for hundreds of years? What if people had been longing for his coming their whole lifetime and had passed down that hope and died before he got here? But the next generation carried on that hope and they died before he got here. But they carried on that hope and that generation died before he got here. But they carried on that hope. And then finally, this national hero that we've been talking about since great-great-great-grandpa, finally, he showed up. Now, he would be worthy of a drum roll. He would be worthy of bright lights. He would be worthy of the grand introduction. Instead, he showed up one day on the back of a donkey. That's not what he deserves. And yet, that's how he came to town. Not the glitz, not the glamour, just on the back of a donkey. I want us to think about it this morning, what it means that he came to town. One of the disciples that we're about to meet said that for him, it felt like Jesus finally showed up. You know, they had been talking to Jesus for a long time, trying to get him into the spotlight, trying to get him to step up and let people see what a great guy he was, that he was Messiah. They'd been trying to get him into a famous introduction. But every step along the way, he said, no, my time's not here. This is not my hour. This is not the right time. And then finally, on Palm Sunday, everybody had gathered because it was Passover time. They were coming together. The place was crowded. Also, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead not very long ago at all. And word got around. Everybody knew what he had done with Lazarus. And so they all showed up to see him. And instead of the ticker tape parade that he deserved, he just came on the donkey. And the disciples said, but he finally showed up. Messiah has been declared, has been proclaimed, has been welcomed. Let me introduce you to this disciple. We don't know his name because Scripture doesn't tell us who it was. But this is one of the guys that went and found the donkey.
Okay, let me get this out of the way. I didn't steal that donkey, okay? I borrowed it. And it wasn't even my idea. Jesus told me to take it, to borrow it, right? Okay, this is how it happened. Earlier today, there was a large group of us, and we were traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. We stopped just outside the city, and Jesus looked at two of us, and he said there was an unridden donkey just inside the village and asked us to go get it. He said if anybody, you know, asked us about it, we could just look at him and say, the Lord needs it, and he'll send it back. So the two of us beat it into town, and the whole time we were like, what is Jesus going to do with a donkey, right? But by this point, we realized you don't second-guess Jesus, right? He hadn't told us why, and we didn't ask. We just got him a donkey. And when we got back, that's when it happened. Some people put their coats on the donkey, and Jesus got on the donkey. And when he got on the donkey, I don't know. It's like everyone started shouting and dancing and singing, and some people were throwing their coats in front of the donkey. There was some of us that grabbed some palm branches and we started waving them in the air. And that's when it clicked. Jesus had finally arrived. I know that sounds weird. It's like this. In the past, we would get excited because Jesus would do something, a miracle, or there'd be some parable or something he said. We'd get excited about it. And Jesus would always be like, shh, come on, guys. No, nope. Just be quiet, you know? And then we'd come up with some idea. Hey, let's do this or let's do that. And Jesus would be like, no, guys, not now. Not now. But today? Today was now. Today, he finally let us shout and sing and dance and treat him like the Messiah that we'd all been waiting for. Finally showed up. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It feels like it's something big, but who knows, you know? But it doesn't matter what happens. Because Jesus showed up. And there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up.
Let's look at the time that happened together when Jesus showed up, or in other words, when he allowed his disciples to acknowledge publicly he was Messiah. Look with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. It feels like Jesus showed up. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, you see, that's where he had been staying over there in Bethany with Lazarus, who he had just raised from the dead, sisters Mary and Martha. He had been staying with them. Remember, this is Sunday, so Sabbath has just ended. He was resting with his friends, relaxing, stopping for a while for Sabbath. Sabbath is over, and so he now enters into the city. He said, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you. And immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They said to them, just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their garments in the road. Others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed after were crying out, "Hosanna." Now, we're not going to linger long because we want to very quickly get to the table this morning. But I do want to pause for just a moment and ask you, why a donkey? Three reasons. One, Rome is not going to allow all these Jews who have showed up causing a ruckus. They are not going to allow those Jews to get out of hand. They're not going to allow them to have too much power. They will not allow an uprising among all these Jews. Remember, there are thousands, some have suggested maybe a million Jews coming to Jerusalem that week. The Romans are going to have control. Now, if Jesus shows up on the back of a big white stallion as he deserves, that's going to be seen a lot like the parades that you remember seeing on TV during World War II, or there the clips of those parades that countries, nations would have parades of showing off all of their armament. There would be huge tanks and cavalry and massive machines and guns, and they'd bring them down the streets so that everybody could see. You know, you've seen those clips. If Jesus showed up on the back of a big white stallion as he deserved, if he had his disciples surrounding him like he deserved, it would appear as if he was making a military statement and Rome would crush them. So he came in on a donkey. But I think there's a second reason, probably more important than the first. The second reason he came in on a donkey is because that is the kind of person Jesus was. The scripture speaks of him as being humble. Philippians 2:2 says that he was God, but he did not consider equality with God the Father something to be grasped, and so he humbled himself. Jesus was meek and lowly. He was a humble leader, a servant leader. It was he who washed the feet of the disciples just a few nights later. And so he came in on a donkey because that's the kind of person he was. But there is a third reason that I think is even more important than the first two. Why a donkey? Well, it proved there was no military overrun about to take place. They weren't trying to overrun the Roman government. Two, it was the kind of person Jesus was. And three, because prophecy declared that Messiah would enter in exactly that way. In Zechariah chapter 9 at verse 9, the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey," a colt, the foal of a donkey. Prophecy said Messiah would come that way. And Jesus, when he enters in on the donkey, he knows that most of the people who have gathered for that holy time will be familiar with Zechariah. Matter of fact, most of them will have this part of Zechariah memorized. And so when he comes in on a donkey, he knows he is saying to them, "I am Messiah. I am the one that you've been longing for, looking forward to." And so sure enough, the people respond. the branches that they would wave for a victor who's coming after a great victory, the singing and the dancing, they'd throw their coats on the path before him. And they shouted, it says in verse 9, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." When they sang that song, they were singing Psalm 118. Now, the interesting thing is, they were going to be singing that song that week anyway. That was one of the songs that they would sing as they would come up to Jerusalem for Passover. That was what they were singing anyway. Hosanna. By the way, Hosanna, it is the best way to understand, to get a sense of what that word meant to them. It's almost as if crying out to God, "God, you are the one who will save us." Salvation is wrapped up in the idea of Hosanna. Hosanna, the one who saves us. And so they would have sung that song anyway, but all the years previously when they sang that song during this week, they were looking forward to Messiah who would come. And when their parents before them sang this song, they were looking forward to Messiah. When their grandparents sang this song, they were looking forward to Messiah. Now for the first time in all of history, they sing the same song they've always sung, only it has a new meaning. Now they're not looking forward to Messiah who will come. Now they're declaring, "Here he is. Hosanna in the highest. God is coming to save us." And here he is. The awesome, the amazing thing in my mind is the joy that they must have felt that Sunday morning when Jesus shows up and they get to sing, "Messiah's here, Hosanna, God is saving us." And those very same voices that shouted in praise before the week was up would shout in anger, "Crucify him." I don't think they understood that when they yelled, "Hosanna, God will save us," and when they yelled, "Crucify him," they didn't understand that they were in essence saying the same thing. God will save us. How? Because Jesus will die for us. Hosanna in the highest. As Jesus on the cross is crucified for us. Palm Sunday is a celebration because Messiah has come. But why did he come? Why did he show up in Jerusalem when he did? He showed up on Sunday so he could be lifted up on Friday. Messiah came to declare God's kingdom on Sunday so the Savior could die to establish it once and for all on Friday. Jesus came on Palm Sunday at the gates of Jerusalem to make his way to Calvary on Good Friday.